course, at the same time, Hadith says, لا يعرف قدر العمر قدر ما بقي من العمر إلا النبي أو الصديق. No one understands the real value of what's left from our lives except a prophet or a siddiq, someone who's reached the level of honesty, someone whose honesty is certain for him. He's always honest. He's a righteous man. He never lies. So no one really understands the value of what's left from our lives except a prophet and that person. Let's say a prophet and an imam. So when we say, let's try to understand the value of what's left from our lives, brothers and sisters, we know it's very difficult. Don't just think that, okay, I know it, move on. I got that, move on to the next point. No, it's important. Honestly, we don't know the value of our lives. What was wasted from it, and what's left from it. So inshallah, if we want to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Ahlul Bayt in our hearts, the first step is to have taqwa. And it's easier said than done. You can sit down and talk about taqwa and say, okay, we have to have taqwa. But what taqwa really is the question. Taqwa means to stay away from muharramat, perform the wajibat. It's a very easy and a straightforward definition for taqwa. Taqwa is to follow whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to do. Pray? Okay, I'll pray. Don't lie? I won't lie. Don't backbite? I won't backbite. Pay charity? I'll do it. Close your eyes on certain things in this world. There you go. Close your ears on certain things. Yes, sir. And my definition of taqwa is that doing what we already know, performing what we already know, brothers and sisters. If we know, for example, hijab is wajib, hijab is an obligation, let's go for it. If we know that, for example, paying khums is an obligation, all right, let's go for it. So the first level of taqwa is taqwa in our actions. The first level of taqwa is taqwa in our actions. And taqwa in action is to perform the wajibat and stay away from the muharramat. That's very important. Very, very important. And it's not easy at all. It's not easy at all. The second level of taqwa is taqwa in our hearts. In our hearts. So that in your hearts, the things that you're inclined towards, the things that you like, the things that you dislike in your heart, you have to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. Remember the hadith that I shared with you guys in my first lecture? That Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before everything and anything. Remember that hadith? In your heart, if you want to like something in your heart, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to dislike someone or something, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the couples, they get in a fight. They get in an argument. They go towards disliking their spouse. Before making the decision to dislike your spouse in your heart, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the word of shaitan. Shaitan is whispering. You see what he's done? You see what she's done? Trying to make you dislike your spouse. In your heart, you have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You haven't put anything into action. It's only and merely in your heart. You go to a masjid, you see a Mawlana, a Shaykh. He doesn't talk to you in a good way. Shaitan comes in. You see the mistake that Mawlana makes, the mistake that Shaykh, that teacher makes. Shaitan comes in and tries to make you hate Islam because of what he's done. Hate scholars because of what he's done. Before hating his scholars, in your heart, remember. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then think whether or not you should like or dislike. So the second level of taqwa is a taqwa that you have in your heart. The third level of taqwa is taqwa in our ma'rifah. Taqwa in our ma'rifah. Meaning that the way we know this world, this universe around us, and this is what I spoke about it in my previous lecture briefly, most of the problems that we have, brothers and sisters, for those who weren't there in my lecture, most of the problems that we have in our lives is because of our expectations. It's because the way we've perceived this world is wrong. The way we understood this world and everything surrounding us is wrong. You have to have taqwa in your understanding. You have to have taqwa in your ma'rifah. Have a correct understanding of this world. Therefore, based on that correct understanding, you like certain things that you have to like. Based on the like in your heart, based on what your heart desires, you act in a good way or in a bad way. So, taqwa in our actions, in our hearts, and in our ma'rifah. But for taqwa, brothers and sisters, for having that taqwa in our hearts, in our actions, in our ma'rifah, we need something. There's a question. You guys always sit on the minbar and talk about taqwa. And down the minbar, we are people living our lives, struggling with numerous problems that we have in our everyday living, trying to survive, trying to maintain taqwa. And you just sit on the minbar and easily say, okay, have taqwa and be pious. Because if you don't have taqwa, therefore you won't be able to love the Ahlul Bayt in the right way. If you don't love the Ahlul Bayt in the right way, what am I doing here? Wasting my money on this trip? What am I going to do in the hereafter? Just look at Hussein and the lovers of Hussein hopelessly, looking at them moving towards paradise, towards Jannah, and me with my hand being coughed, moving towards hellfire. No one benefits from my time. Because it's more what's left for my life is more valuable than Kibrit al-Ahmar. There is something here. There's a remedy. There's a loophole that we have to learn. Have you seen when believers and Muslims, they talk to each other, and when they ask each other, oh, what happened that you didn't show up in that meeting? They say, oh, because I didn't have the tawfiq to attend that meeting. I lack tawfiq. What happened that you didn't show up in my lecture? Oh, sorry, Sheikh, because I didn't have the tawfiq to attend your lecture. Well, it really needs tawfiq. What happened that you did not take part in that workshop, in that course? I did not have the tawfiq. In Surah Al-Hud, verse number 88, Prophet Hud says, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. If I remember the verse correctly, my tawfiq and my success is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I trust Him, I rely on Him, and to Him I return. Brothers and sisters, there's a concept of tawfiq that we have to know about. A lot of the problems that we have in our lives is because of the lack of the tawfiq in our lives. You want to be pious, you try, you make a plan for it. You study your plan to be the most perfect plan for your life, because it's your life at the end of the day. But you see that plan is not working. It's because of the lack of tawfiq sometimes. What is tawfiq? Can you define tawfiq for us? Well, honestly, it's very difficult to define tawfiq. Very, very difficult. Some of the urafa, some of the spiritual teachers, they say tawfiq is a jazba from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we have to explain another term, jazba. Jazba means to do jazb of something, to get something to come close to you, like a magnet. You see how the magnet attracts other things towards itself and gets other things to attach to it? That's called jazba, pulling other things to come towards you, to come near you, and attach, and get attached to you. Anyhow, this is jazba. In Arifan and in spirituality, they say, up to certain levels, a salik, someone who's walking the path of a spirituality, up to certain levels, they can go themselves. With the azkar, with being pious, doing this and that, so on and so forth. But from a certain level to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for reaching the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need that jazba. They have to take your hand. You need an inner pull, but from above. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to pull you from inside and take you up and elevate you. That's jazba. However, for some of the urafa, it happens that they receive jazba from the beginning. Why is that? That's not part of our discussion tonight. But some of the urafa, some of the noble people, they receive jazba from the beginning. With no teacher, all of a sudden they go high up. So some of the urafa, they explain tawfiq as a form of jazba. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts an energy in you, that through that energy you're being pulled towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to be pious? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you and He puts an energy in you. He gives you an energy, and through that energy you're moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're solving all the problems and moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we want to translate jazba, if we want to translate tawfiq, the best term that I can find at this moment is success. Not a worldly success, and a spiritual success in achieving what you want. When we refer to the Holy Quran and the ahadith of the Holy Ahlul Bayt, we see that they explained jazba, they explained tawfiq in a beautiful way. They explained how to gain tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because once we get to know the concept of tawfiq and the reality of the concept of tawfiq, the second question would be, all right, now how can I get some of that beautiful tawfiq for myself? Some of that valuable tawfiq for myself? In whatever is left in my life, from my life. So, because our time is running short, I just cut some of the hadith and rawat that I had prepared for you guys. But the first step in gaining tawfiq, brothers and sisters, in gaining success, in gaining tawfiq to achieve different things out there, let it be piety, let it be knowledge, let it be whatever you have in your mind, you need tawfiq for that. The first step towards it is dua. Brothers and sisters, dua is the key to solving the majority of our problems. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بَكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. If it wasn't because of your du'as, you wouldn't have reached anywhere, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have looked at you. Why is it that we need dua? It's because, first of all, when you go and make dua, it means that you felt the need of something. When you feel the need of something, you go and make dua for it. If you feel the need of getting healed, for example, when you're sick, when you're ill, when you're physically injured, then I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us all to be always healthy and safe. But sometimes when you go to the hospitals, at least in Iran when I go to hospitals, where all of the people are Muslims, or sometimes in America when I went to the hospital, you see people praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of their hearts. That's the real du'a. Because they feel the need. They're in need of someone, of a stronger power to come and solve their problems. So that du'a comes after you feel a need. You feel the need for gaining something, for getting rid of something, for solving a problem. Therefore, if you want tawfiq, if you want that success in achieving things, the first step is to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for it. Ask for tawfiq. Please recite the salawat. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, من استنصح الله يا أيها الناس من استنصح الله وفق. Those who go and ask for advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be successful. ومن اتخذ قوله دليلا هذا من استنصح الله حاز التوفيق. Those who ask for advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for help and take His words as guidance, listen to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them tawfiq. من استنصح الله حاز التوفيق. They will gain tawfiq. They will achieve tawfiq. And Amir al-Mu'mineen in his will to Imam al-Mujtaba says, وَابْدَأْ قَبْلَ نَذَرَكَ فِي ذَلَكَ بِالْإِسْتِعَانَةِ بِإِلَهِكَ وَالرَّغْبَةِ إِلَيْكَ فِي تَوْفِيقِكَ. Amir al-Mu'mineen tells Imam al-Mujtaba that you have to follow the righteous people. Look at the lives of the righteous people in the history and be like them. All right? And he's not only advising Imam al-Mujtaba, or let me say, he's not advising Imam al-Mujtaba, he's advising us, the people throughout the history, those who read these lines. But he says, before reading the lives of those people, before going after the lives of the righteous people and trying to perform whatever they've performed in their lives, وَبْدَ بِالْإِسْتِعَانَةِ بِإِلَيْكِ, start with asking help from your Lord. وَالرَّغْبَةَ إِلَيْهِ فِي تَوْفِيقِكَ. And رَغْبَة, and desiring in receiving tawfiq from Him. So before making a move and trying to do anything, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what? To give you tawfiq, to make you successful. Brothers and sisters, most of the problems, or a lot of the problems that we have and we're struggling with them in our lives, can't be solved and won't be solved because we're not properly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. We're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. There are things that give us tawfiq, and there are things that deprive us from tawfiq. Like, for example, disrespecting parents, disrespecting our teachers, disrespecting those who taught us anything in the path of Islam. We'll get to them, inshallah. For now, we're talking and we're trying to understand things that gives us tawfiq, that give us tawfiq, inshallah. Please recite the salawat. The second thing that we need for gaining tawfiq in our lives. You see how tawfiq is connected to everything, right? Tawfiq is connected to everything in your life. The second point in achieving tawfiq is having a strong and firm will and determination. A strong will from Allah. Ask for a strong will first, based on the first point that I made. Then try to have that strong will. A strong and firm decision. that I'm going to do this regardless. This is what I'm going to do, and I stand for it, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for the consequences, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to go after it and be a go-getter. If you decide to do something, if you decide to achieve something, be a go-getter. Go after it. Don't let anyone and anything to stand in front of your way. Don't let the obstacles nor the barriers, don't let anything prevent you from achieving your goals. And that requires a firm decision, a firm will, determination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَلَقَدْ أَهَدْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَنَّسِيَ وَلَنْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. We told mankind, the children of Adam, وَلَقَدْ أَهَدْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. We took an oath from them, but they forgot. وَلَقَدْ أَهَدْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَنَّسِيَ. وَلَقَدْ أَهَدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ, from Adam, but he forgot. وَلَمْ نَجَدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. The reason he failed was because he did not have that firm determination, that firm will, that firm decision. He wasn't firm. Therefore, he failed, made a mistake. And that's the problem in our lives. We sin, we make mistakes, we make errors because we don't have that firm decision, brothers and sisters. And it needs time and hard work to achieve that determination. Imam al-Sajjad talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, فَقَدْ عَلَمْتَ أَنَّ أَفْضَلَ الزَّادِ الرَّاحِلِ إِلَيْكَ عَزْمُ إِرَادَةٍ يَخْتَارُكَ بِهَا. Oh Allah, you know better than anyone that the best thing that a rahil, someone who is traveling to you, the best thing that he can take with him, with himself, the best thing that they can take with themselves on the way to achieving your proximity is azmu irada, is that firm decision, is that firm will. This is what they need. Oh Allah, we need that firm determination. We need it from you. Therefore, give it to us. So he's combining the first two points, that dua that we mentioned, and the second one. The third point that we need, the third point that's going to help us achieve tawfiq, is a purified intention, a clear intention. Brothers and sisters, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عَمَلَهُ. The intention of a mu'min is better than his action. And it can be applied in any aspect, in every aspect of our lives. For achieving tawfiq, we need a firm, clear, and purified intention. Without that intention, we won't be able to have tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ النِّيَّةِ تَكُونُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَتِيَّةِ وَمَنْ حَسُنَتْ نِيَّتُهُ أَمَدَهُ التَّوْفِيقِ. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, it is based on your intention and your niyyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. As much as you have a clear, purified, and good intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you from His blessings. وَمَنْ حَسُنَتْ نِيَّتُهُ, and those who make their intentions good, those who purify their intentions, those who beautify their intentions, those who have niyyat al-hasan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them tawfiq. So Amir al-Mu'mineen is connecting tawfiq to having a good, purified, and beautiful niyyat. So you have to go back to ourselves. That sometimes we sit down when we're tired from our problems, especially when you're surrounded by difficulties. When the economic situation in your life is messed up, when your relation with your relatives and loved ones is messed up, When you don't have a good connection or relation with your friends, at work people don't like you or you have problems over there. Around the house, you don't have a good relation with your spouse or your children or your parents or siblings. And the economic situation is bad. And out there, sins are trying to take you down. Temptations and desires are trying to take you down. In this situation, you sit down in the corner. Oh Allah, where are you? Why don't you take my hand? Why don't you solve my problem? At that time, you have to remember that there were steps that you were supposed to take, but you didn't take any of them. And you need to go back and save and solve these problems one by one. Do the dua. And it's not going to happen in a night. It's going to take time. Make dua. Purify yourself. Have a firm determination. And then go for purifying the niyyah. Please recite the salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. إنما قدر الله عون العباد على قدر نياتهم فمن صحت نيته تم عون الله له ومن قصرت نيته قصر عنه عونه العون بغد الذي قصر. Hadith says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us based on our intentions. If you want to receive help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you based on your intentions. Therefore, if you have a clean and clear intention, فَمَنْ صَحَّتْ نِيَّتُهُ, if you have a correct intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you support, a full support. وَمَنْ قَصُرَتْ نِيَّتُهُ, those who don't have a correct and complete intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give them a full support. They only receive as much as they have. So don't sit in a corner and blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not helping you, for not supporting you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for you. He's always there for us. But we only receive as much as we can. It is us that we've limited ourselves to a low level, to a very short capacity, small capacity, and therefore we won't be able to receive full support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last point, and I'm going to wrap up this discussion because our time is short. The last point is hard work. For achieving tawfiq, we need to work hard. We need hard work. Brothers and sisters, don't think that hard work comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. You have to start the hard work and that clean intention and that dua and that firm determination and firm will, therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you tawfiq. At that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you tawfiq. So you have to have that hard work. Without the hard work, you won't be able to. We have people who sit down in their house and they complain about their economic situation. I was just talking to one of the Maulanas from Pakistan and he told me, when I went back home from Hawza in Iran, it almost took me 10 years to come up with a plan. I was poor, didn't have anyone to support me, didn't have anything. I sat down and thought and thought and thought and tried to make a plan for 10 years. Then I started working hard with everyone around me. And now we've managed to be successful, be rich, try to take care of, and now we are capable of taking care of our communities, our societies, our people, our Shia, because that firm will, that plan, the dua, and the hard work was there. Brothers and sisters, if you want to solve your problems, if you want to gain tawfiq, start working hard, start moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it's not easy not to go after dunya. You need to work hard to stay away from sinning. You need to work hard to gain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is difficult. But by working hard, You will get there. Once you work hard, once you show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're ready, that you're willing to work hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you tawfiq. Imam Reza, he says, Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam says, there are seven things that without seven, if you have seven things, without seven, you're making fun of yourself. If you have seven things, without seven, you're making fun of yourself. The first one is, من استغفر الله بلسانه ولم يندم بقلبه فقد استهزأ بنفسه. Those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ولم يندم, but they don't regret what they've done, but they're not sorry about what they've done. In their heart, they're definitely bullying themselves. They're definitely making fun of themselves. You repent, but at the same time, you don't regret what you've done. You're not sorry about what you've done in your heart. It's not going to work like that. The second point is that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى الشَّدَائِدِ مَنْ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى الشَّدَائِدِ فَقَدْ اسْتَهْزَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ. Those who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise, those who want to be in the paradise of in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's paradise, but yet they're not willing to take the hardships of this dunya, and they're not patient in the difficulties that they go through in this world, they're bullying themselves, they're making fun of themselves. There are seven things, but one of them is this, وَمَنْ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ التَّوْفِيقِ وَلَمْ يَجْتَهِدْ فَقَدْ اسْتَهْزَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ. Those who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, oh Allah, please give me tawfiq, but they don't work hard, وَلَمْ يَجْتَهِدْ, but they don't strive towards achieving the tawfiq themselves. فَقَدْ اسْتَهْزَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ. They have bullied themselves. They have made fun of themselves. And they're a few more. Brothers and sisters, if we want to have tawfiq, we have to work hard. Therefore, if we look closely, we see that the problems that we have, most of the problems that we have, they lie on our mistakes, on our problems. We don't have tawfiq because we did not move towards gaining tawfiq. Therefore, when you don't have tawfiq, you won't be able to have a proper taqwa. Not in your ma'arif, not in your heart, and not in your actions. Therefore, when you don't have a proper taqwa, you won't be able to love the Ahlul Bayt in a good way. وَأَحَبَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ حُسَيْنَا. Therefore, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He gives the love of Hussein. If the true love of Hussein is given to someone, all of these things will be there. The tawfiq, taqwa, piety, all of them will be there. But at the same time, you need the other side. Well, except it's a jazbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. And it's not going to happen only for chosen people. Only for chosen people. Oh Allah, you ask us to love Hussein. We try to love Hussein. Ya Rasulullah, you told us, قُلْ مَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I don't ask for anything in return of what I've done for you, in return to what I've done for you, in return to the guidance that I've given you, in return of saving you from this, from getting lost in this world, except to love my family. Oh Rasulullah, we know the love of your family is sacred. We try to love them, yet we have problems, yet we have shortcomings, yet we are weak. Ya Rasulullah, I'm in the city of your grandson Hussein. Ya Rasulullah, I walked all the way from Najaf to Karbala. Look at my blistered feet. Look at these injured knees. Look at these muscles in pain. Look at this broken heart. Ya Rasulullah, I've come here with this broken heart, and my only desire and my only wish is for you to mend this broken heart for me. Is to put me together. Is to fix me up. Is to send me back home safe. Ya Rasulullah, I tried to love Hussein, but I know at the same time I have shortcomings. I know I didn't love Hussein in the way you expected me to do. But I'm here for you to perfect my love, to make it perfect for me. Sallallahu alayka sallallahu alaykum ya ahla bayt an-nubuwwah sallallahu alaykum ya ahla bayt an-nubuwwah. May God's peace and blessings be upon you, O the household of Rasulullah. May God's peace and blessings be upon you, O Hussein. As I cross these lands, now that you all say all the hope I have, hold on to my hand as I cross these lands, Master Hussein, hear me call your name. After you, this heart's never been the same. Hear me as I speak.
Your love's all I need. Hussein, Mawla Hussein, Mawla Hussein. Please, everyone, repeat with me, Mawla Hussein, Mawla Hussein, Mawla Hussein, Mawla Hussein, everyone. Brothers and sisters, now that we're in the land of Karbala, and it's our first majlis, let's go into the house of Imam al-Hussein. Let's take our hearts to the shrine of Hussein, remembering the masail of the youngest soldier of Abu Abdullah, Bab al-Hajja, Aniyun al-Asqar. History says, after all the companions were gone, Abu Abdullah went to say goodbye to his family, to Zainab, to Umm Kulthum and Rabah. There are two accounts based on the first one. Imam al-Hussein says, give me my Ali and al-Asqar to also kiss him for the last time and say goodbye for the last time. When Imam al-Hussein held Ali and al-Asqar in his arms to say goodbye for the last time, as Hussein is holding Ali and al-Asqar and looking at his dry lips, فرماه حرملا بسهم له ثلاث شعاب حرملا شعر مثنر that had three heads فذبحه من الأذن إلى الأذن Based on the second account, they told him, O Hussein, before you go to the battlefield, if you can take some water, bring some water for Ali ibn al-Asqar. He took Ali ibn al-Asqar to the battlefield. Ya qawm, in lam tarhamuni, فارحموا هذا الرذيل. If you're here to fight with me, at least look at this infant. ألا ترونه كيف يتلذذ عطشا Can't you see him? How he closes and opens his mouth like a fish which is out of the sea, trying to reach some water. A fish which is dying. It means that if you give him water, or if you don't give him water, regardless, he's going to die. At least give him some water. فرماه حرملا بسهم له ثلاث شعاب وثنى روح that had three pointy hair فذبحوا من الأذن إلى الأذن He cut his throat from ear to ear. Let me just tell you how painful it is. Let me tell you what the arrow was. Harmala used this arrow once again at the last moments of Hussein. When Hussein left off his shirt to clean his forehead because it was broken. When he was cleaning the blood from his forehead, Harmala saw the chest of Hussein and shot him with one of these arrows. The arrow went in. Hussein was on his horse now, no matter how much he tried to take the arrow out from the front, he couldn't. He bent over and took the arrow from behind. They shot Ali ibn al-Asghar with this arrow. For an infant, you don't need that big of an arrow. Imagine Hussein looking at Ali ibn al-Asghar in his hand with the arrow in his throat. Why don't you move anymore? It seems like your thirst was quenched. How can I take you back to Rabab now? The bigger pain is when Hussein goes back to the tents, to the camp of the companions. Rubab is waiting for Ali on the last time. Rubab is waiting to receive Ali on the last time. They say Abu Abdullah didn't go towards the tents. He went behind the tent, somewhere that the enemies couldn't see, trying to dig a grave, a small grave for Ali ibn al-Asghar. Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein. Please repeat with me from the bottom of your heart. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein, don't leave me alone, away from your shrine. All I have is yours, all I have is yours, and you are mine. Hussein, Hussein, everyone, ya. In my heart resides your holy shrine. In my heart resides your holy shrine. This heart of mine, in your hands you hold this heart of mine. Ya Hussein, Hussein. for the last time together. Ya Hussein.